Our dear Heavenly Father, we worship you. You indeed are the Yahweh, the beginning and the end. And so, Lord, we recognize without you we can do nothing. And so, Lord, once again, Father, I humble myself, Lord, before you, because without you I can do nothing. I ask for fresh mercy and fresh unction under the covering of my spiritual fathers. Lord God, that as we go into the word this morning, Lord, you will put your word in my mouth so that, Lord, I will speak as an oracle of God. Lord, and your word will come forth in power, in purity, Lord, in clarity and in simplicity. And let it accomplish an internal, eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, making our wills more submitted to your will. Our minds further illuminated with the revelation knowledge from the Holy Spirit. Our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, changing us to be doers of the things that we learn, yea, more efficiently and effectively, and not hearers only, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I want to also talk with the covering of my fathers, that as your word goes forth, Lord God, let it go forth with power. Let it break yokes. Let it minister strength to our feet and to our ankle bones, helping us, Lord, to mount up on eagle's wings, Lord, to walk in the truth and to walk, Lord, in the fullness of all that you have in store for us, nothing escaping us, in Jesus' name. I ask for mercy to be concise, to be precise, so that I'll speak, Lord, only those things that you have me say. And as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, Lord, bring out treasures of your word, new and old, Lord, redeeming the time, not saying unnecessary things. Come and have your way, Lord, as we fellowship in your presence this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I thank God for the great privilege he has given me this morning, once again, to bring the word. And I want to thank my father, Pastor Luby, and my mom. Mom is here. My mom is Sarah. For the great honor. Thank you so much, mommy. For your love. And you're always pouring out your lives. It's just so special that God has made today Mothering Sunday. Amen. A day to really appreciate your ministry in our lives. And of course, all of the moms that are in the house. But being the mommy of mommies, we drink from your life. And we just want to say thank you for being who you are, for being a disciplinarian, a lover of people, you know, an intercessor, you know, a mother who will not keep quiet. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ma. May your works praise you in the gates. We, your seed, rise and call you blessed, ma. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, brethren. Well, so we're going into a new book today, and we're taking the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. Now, the book of Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul around AD 49, and it's very clear that it's Paul, and Galatia today is somewhere in Turkey. That's a bit frightening. You know, there were several churches in the southern part of Galatia, but now Turkey, of course, you know, is a Muslim nation. It's important that we take heed to these things. Paul had gone on his first missionary journey and started all those churches. And then he went back to Antioch to give a feedback or a report, you know, to the brethren, you know. And while he did that, certain men came in teaching error, saying that justification came from keeping the law of Moses and not by faith. So Paul wrote this very strong letter, rebuking the Galatians and establishing that justification came by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. And that there was no other way. Faith in Christ and then faith in the promises that he has made to us. So that by, you know, showing them that, you know, Abraham inherited by faith, not by the law. You know, and showing that we are also going to inherit. We are of Jerusalem that is above, that is free. We are not of the son of the bondwoman. We are the son of the free. So he was demonstrating to them that this was by faith and not by works. And then he concluded this book by showing that the goal for us as Christians is to keep spiritual law by faith in order to grow in the love of God. And God wants us to grow in that love of God until we come into maturity. And he said, you can't do this by yourself. You have to do it through the Spirit. That's where we get the term walking in the Spirit. You know, so it takes walking in the Spirit to fulfill the goal of the law, which is love. You know, and he made that abundantly clear. That so it's not faith or law. It is fulfilling the law by faith in Christ through the help of the Holy Spirit. And that we grow up to become mature sons that God can entrust his glory with. So that's what this book is about in a nutshell. We're now going into it by the help of the Holy Spirit in chapter 1. And we're beginning in verse 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's read together. Galatians chapter 1 in verse 1. Paul, let's read it together. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Next verse. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. So we see Paul recognizing that he is not him alone. It is him and the brethren. Amen. Next verse. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. That's characteristic Paul greeting. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Next verse. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So we see Apostle Paul emphasizing by the letter that he sent that he was sent by Jesus Christ and God the Father, and not claiming to be an apostle as some people do, or be made an apostle by man. It's important to establish here that coming into any of the fivefold ministry, as we see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, you have to be called by God. It's very important. It is God that calls. You don't call yourself. Neither do men call you. If men say you have a call, there must be independent witness in you that God has called you to the ministry. And it's a very key thing, because he's saying here, because they were listening to people that were not called. The instructions he gave them, they were leaving it, and they were seizing from the instructions, and they were hearing words that were making them err from the words of truth. And was saying, you don't know. He was establishing his pedigree as a real apostle to the Galatians. That no, I'm called by God. And no, it's very important that he says this. He says, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended, talking of Jesus Christ, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and did what? Gave gifts unto men. Those gifts he gave, you can call it mantles, you can call it anointings. One of them is the mantle of the apostle. Mantle of the prophet, mantle of the teacher, mantle of the pastor, and mantle of the evangelist. And those mantles really are anointings that operate on human beings. So what he was saying is, in essence, is this: there's resurrection power working through me as a real apostle of Jesus Christ. That was the message he was telling them. You know, that's what he was saying essentially, that this is Jesus talking to you through me. How dare you leave the word of God and follow lies? How did they establish what they are teaching you? Amen. So he was going on ahead to tell them that. And it's important to understand this, you know, that where the word of a king is, there is power. Power is so important. The Bible says the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. Is important to recognize. No, so we're going to look at that. Look at Zechariah chapter 4. God is talking to Zechariah. Chapter 4, verse 1. We read from verse 1 to verse. Let's just see how far God takes us.
And the angel that talked with me came again. Talk to Zechariah. And waked me as a man that is waking out of sleep. He's about to give him revelation. He wasn't sleeping, but was about to show him something that he did not understand or see. Next verse. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. It's a symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Next verse. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. Next verse. So I answered and spake unto the angel which with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Next verse. And the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, know thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Now look at what the angel does. He doesn't tell him what it is, but he tells him why it is. Next verse. Amen. He said, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord to the governor at that time, Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith who? Lord of hosts. Next verse. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and shalt bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying what? Grace. Grace unto what did Paul send to the Galatians? Grace and peace. You're getting it. Amen. Next verse. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hand of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that who sent me? The Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. What is God saying in all this? He's saying that he was telling Zerubbabel that you need the grace that comes from me through the two olive candlesticks on either side to finish the work that I begun through you. You needed them to start the work. You need them to finish the work. Let's go on. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Next verse. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees on the right side of the candlestick? You haven't answered my question. And upon the left side thereof. Next verse. And I answered and said unto him, yes, next verse. And he answered and said unto me, know thou not what these be? I already asked. You are just whetting my appetite. Tell me what it is. Next verse. And he said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. What is God saying? There are two anointed offices of the apostle and the prophet that are the foundation of the church of Jesus Christ, that God positions when he's about to do his move, because God moves in times and seasons. So God will raise them up, because it takes time to raise them up. God will raise them up for that time. And everything God's going to do, he's going to midwife through them. So what you are doing is important, but your attitude to them is extremely critical, because without them, you will not be able to finish. Because there is golden oil. Look at what he said. Next verse. Next verse. Out of whom come the golden oil. Or maybe you skipped it. Then I turned and said, No. No, it says this. Out of whom come the golden oil. That golden oil is the power. Is that resurrection power that he was talking about? No, that power is coming out from God through them to you. So he's using the candlestick. Thank you, ma'am. And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches through which the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? Brethren, it is important to understand. Lord Jesus needed Anna and Simeon. There were times when he just needed Anna and Simeon to set the pace, and then he came and finished. We also need those two offices of the apostle and the prophet. And Paul was establishing his authentic apostleship. That look, I am one of the anointed olive trees. And you can see why I wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. I'm one of them. Out of my intercession. Out of my intercession. You need me. What are you doing? Who are they? What did they tell you? So it's important. And the reason why they turned back was because of their attitude. Their womb to them was constricted. So the amount of oil that was coming to them was not enough. So they were open to deception. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But it's important to understand that. So we see that these apostles reflect the majority. He said, not by might, not by power, but by the Holy Spirit working through. The Holy Spirit is the candlestick. Working through those two olive trees so that you can get what you need to get. It's important to understand that. Jesus Christ told the Pharisees, you go about, you will not come to me that you may receive eternal life. You think eternal life is not in the scripture. It's in me. So, God has his people that he has said. So, it's important to recognize that so that we can take full advantage of it. Now, apostles reflect the mature ministry of Jesus Christ. They reflect the purity in character of the Lord Jesus. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 to 12. This is the real thing now because there are false apostles, that feign themselves to be apostles of Christ. But this is the real deal. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. Very quickly, we see the purity of the character. Because that purity is so important. That's why you are getting maximum oil. Because there's no blockage. There's no blockage in the vessel. The vessel is open. No, he says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, brethren, our heart is enlarged. He said, you are strengthened where? In your own bowel. And then commands them, be ye enlarge. Brethren, God is talking to us today. You need to enlarge your bowel. You need to honor authority in our hearts. In your thought. You know, the heart is a place where sometimes we hide. But God is saying now, my searchlight is open. There's no hiding place. Amen? There's no hiding place. You need to deal with those thoughts. We must renounce. Renounce dishonor. Renounce a lack of love. Is there, brethren? You know why it's there? Because we're coming out of Egypt. And we are going to the promised land. So everything that is in Egypt, the fact that you left Egypt physically, doesn't mean Egypt is not in you. It's not in me. So when we renounce it, then we remove the Egypt inside and drop it behind. And you move on. You can't lie. It's honesty. You have to be honest so you can remove it. And it's progressive. It's progressive. Don't you do you action? Then thoughts, then you become pure. Like the Bible says, you become light. And in you, there will be no darkness at all. No variableness, neither shadow of turning. This is not pie in the sky. It is what the work God is doing. And it's pouring out. That's what the oil is doing. It's coming from pure vessels, vessels that are purer than you. So they can from the level, from that level of purity, they can fix where you are. You don't have to say anything. Jesus knew Judas was stealing from the bag. Elisha knew that Gehazi went to collect from Naaman the Syrian. He didn't leave the way he was. God reveals it to them. So it's in our interest to be pure. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10, quickly. Ye are witnesses, and God also is calling God to witness. You know, when you are doing everything correctly and in purity, you can call God as your witness. And God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behave ourselves among you that believe. Next verse. And you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Next verse. Next verse. Verse 12. Verse 12. That you would walk worthy of God who had called you unto what? His kingdom and glory. That's what they do. They point the way. And they let you know where you are going without a shadow of a doubt. Amen? So you can see the holily, motive, method, means. They are pure. And they do it and they comfort. They don't only comfort. They comfort and they charge. They will charge you. Sometimes they will comfort you. They don't do what you like. They do what they need to do. It's not a popularity contest. But they are doing as unto God. Say, and God also has purity. And that's where God is taking us. Brethren, we also, we must be doing things not for the praise of man. We must be doing things for the praise of God. Because God is testing the heart. Bible says that the day when God will reveal the secret of men's hearts, may we stand for glory in that day in Jesus' name. What you are hiding now, will it not be revealed then? So let's deal with it. Amen. Give God a clap of it. Let's deal with it. Amen. I speak to myself. Remove it so that you can stand that day and say, God, you know. Hezekiah said, God, you know. God, you know. And God said, I give you 15 years. You can stand on the integrity of what you have done. It will stand us in good stead. So we need to do it and copy the example. Amen. So purity in character. We see their intercession. Galatians 4:19. I won't turn there with the scripture we know. My little children, of whom I travail again in Christ, again in birth, until Christ be what? Formed. That ministry, that's where the oil is coming from. Amen. All right. And then the ministry in the world. Acts 20:32. Let's look at that very quickly. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Quickly. 20:32. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing. Acts 20:32. Thank you. And now, brethren, I commend you to who? God. You see, every time he's talking about God, it's about God. It's not about man. It's not about building. We are building men for God. That's the true apostleship, okay? I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace. Grace there is life. That's why he keeps giving you grace and peace, okay? Which is able to what? Build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Next verse. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Thank God for our fathers in the house. Let's give God a super hand. Amen. We can say that without a shadow of a doubt. We have experienced it for 35 plus years. Coveted no man's silver. Not everybody can say this. That's what Paul was saying. Bible says there are false apostles. You know, and he says, okay, to show you that they are false, I did not collect any offering from you. I don't need it. I deliberately did that. My hands have labored for myself and the people that are with me. That's why, brethren, this house is a pure house. Thank God for our fathers. They labor spiritually and give the time before you wake up, they're up. They pray. They pray all through the day. Then they walk just like you do. And walk until late in the night. And then they go to bed day in, day out. It's a life laid down. But you know why? So that there is no boasting. So that we can boast in the Lord our God. And he's the one that is doing it. Because if you don't do it that way, you will beg men. You will be at the mercy of men. And when they don't give offering, and so you can't tell them certain things. But here in this house, God has not given, he has not given us the children yet. That Pastor Homer, we cannot talk to. Thank God. Amen. All right. So it's so important you see the quality. Now, together, the character and the intercession and the word produces godly fruits in the lives of the people that are following them. It's not by accident, it's deliberate. Romans 12, verse 2. Please give me the Amplified. Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, 2. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Do not be conformed to this world. This age, fashioned after and adapted to his external superficial custom. Everything in the world is external. But everything in God is internal first before external. So the world will take you astray. So it says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. That's what they do. They take you along that road and you prove the good. Then over time you prove the acceptable, and by the grace of God you prove the perfect. That's the will of God. Amen. So that's what it takes. So they provide covering. That covering protects, it nourishes. We've spoken about that. Lays a spiritual foundation. And finally, they provide instruction. Because Apostle Paul said, I have laid the foundation. So they lay the foundation and then they give instruction. They give instruction. And what we now do with the instruction determines how we build upon. Very important to understand that. Okay? So we know that the Galatian brethren were listening to wrong teaching. And this danger of wrong teaching, when you stop obeying instruction, let's look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27 in the Amplified. Proverbs 19. When you stop obeying instruction, you lose the covering that God intended for us. We will not lose the covering in Jesus' name. We will not go outside of covering. Say, cease, my son. Give it to me in the Amplified, please. In the Amplified. Thank you. Right. Cease, my son, to hear instruction only to ignore it and stray from the words of knowledge. That's what happened to them. They received the instruction, but they didn't really do it, effectively as they ought to have. So they received, and then they ignored, and then they strayed. May we not receive, ignore, and stray in Jesus' name. When we receive, we will apply. Bible says, apply your heart unto instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. So we apply the instruction. I know, let me give an example. Good morning, Jesus, is an instruction. It's an instruction. So to wake up at 5 o'clock is already an instruction. But then you can wake up, turn it on, and sleep. Matthew, you are not applying the way you are supposed to. You are up. It is reading on the Zoom thing that you are there. But are you really there? Or they give an instruction and say, everybody pray along. Pray in the spirit. Rapa, papa, shake it when they're making petition. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. And you are looking. Or you are reading. Or you are doing some work. Waiting for the time when it will come to the time for prayer. You are doing work in between. You are checking your text message. You are checking things because you are using your phone. And you will go on Twitter and tell you, I'll see you later at 12 o'clock. And you are praying. May God have mercy on us. Are you applying your heart unto instruction? Brethren, let me tell you, by experience, you will not get the benefit. You won't get the benefit if by reason of use, God expects more of you because it's in an individual thing. No, we're all growing and we are different levels. God checks the heart and knows what your best is. If you're not doing your best, he understands and he will withdraw the grace. And you just see things happening and you cannot explain it. And when you correct it, everything will now go. Not only will everything be corrected, it will take you to a higher level. Then you know that you are dealing with somebody who has two eyes and two ears. Who said love is blind? God is love. He's not blind. He sees through you, X-ray vision. Even before you went to do the thought, God already sees the thought there. So, brethren, let's understand where that, like the apostle here, he keeps saying God. He's saying God. Understand that we are dealing with who? God. And in that fear of God, then we do what we are supposed to do and do your best. That's all God is saying. And as you do your best, the Holy Spirit comes to help you. Amen? And make the yoke easy and the burden light. So we're in a time, in a perilous time. So we can't afford to cease or ignore instruction. You know why? Because it says in verse 4, we are living, it says God has kept us and saved us, and we're living in this present evil world. We're in an evil world with terrorism, in an evil world with sexual perversion. There's war. Amen? There are things that are going on, violent crime. There is what I, for want of a better word, fatal prosperity. Prosperity that will destroy you. Because devil gives prosperity, will not destroy us in Jesus' name. We will not take that kind of prosperity. But it's available. It's deception. I will prosper you, but don't worry, you don't have to do those things. I will prosper you. And the Bible says the prosperity of fools will destroy them. No, all those things are available. The only way we can escape it is by covering. Coming upon us, which is dependent by how humble your heart is and how diligent you are in obeying the instruction. and the covering to flow through. So the oil is coming to you. The question is, how much are you and I allowing inside? That's the issue. Because we can't allow. For the brethren, you know, they had, because the amount of covering that was coming from them, you know, that was coming to them, they were not allowing it inside. When men came, no, the Bible says the wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. Wicked there is not obeying instruction. So if you're not obeying instruction, you will give heed to false lips. That's what happened to them. So God is saying, watch out. Don't let that happen to you. It will not happen to us in Jesus' name. As the devil tried to destroy the precious seed, destroy Moses by asking them, asking them to kill all male children. No, but God preserved Moses. Tried to kill Jesus. Same way he's trying to kill the man child. Trying to corrupt the man child. You know, and we must hold fast to instruction to remain on the highway of holiness. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. Proverbs 4:13, very important. It says, take fast hold of what? Instruction. Let her not go. Keep her. Let her not go. Then God's like, keep her. Not the same thing. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. He's emphasizing. Instruction brings life. It brings that oil, that life flowing into your life, into my life. Amen? So we remain on the highway of holiness because you need life to walk on the highway of holiness. Look at Isaiah 35. There is a highway for God's own. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 35, verse 8. Verse 8 to 10. And a highway shall be there. And a way. And it shall be called the way of what? Holiness. And the unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Next verse. No lion shall be there. There's no terrorism there. There's no evil incident and accident there. You know, no any ravenous beast shall go thereupon. It shall not be found there. But who will be there? Who will be there? How many people are redeemed? Let me see your hand up. Hallelujah. He says, the redeemed shall be there. Next verse. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return. That's why we renounce hidden things. We are returning. We return. We are coming back. Home to God. Amen. And come to Zion with what? Songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy. I can't hear you now. They shall obtain. And sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Praise the Lord. That's where we are walking. You know, we walk with confidence because you're on the highway of holiness. The way of the redeemed of the Lord. That's what God is saying. So we see that's important. No, so let's go back to verse 4. And he says he redeemed us, kept us from this present evil world. Galatians 1:4. Yes. Next verse, verse 5. To whom be glory forever and ever. Why are we giving glory to God? See, brethren, when God got us born again, amen, he, under apostolic covering, if you open up and allow apostolic covering into your life through accepting instruction and doing it, okay, with a good attitude and giving to their ministry, you know, your tithe and your offering, what happens is that God changed the trajectory of our lives. There was a trajectory we had before. The Bible says we were alienated from the covenants of promise. We were strangers from the commonwealth of Israel. We are without God, without hope in the world. It doesn't matter what you have in the physical. You're not going anywhere. That was our lot and our portion spiritually. But thank be to God. Hallelujah. Who in his mercy reached out to us. You know, and you and I said yes. And you are here and you haven't said yes, say yes. Because he's going to give you a deal that is better than you ever imagined. Hallelujah. Amen. So God changes the trajectory of our lives and we stop being victims of circumstance. Yes, you stop being in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, things just happen to you, you know, just because you're on the face of the earth. There was a man that was born blind. He said, who sinned? It's not his father, not his mother. Just the fact that he's on the face of the earth and the devil is a bully. Just goes around and says, this one, I'm going to make him blind. He's a victim of circumstances. He's It's a victim sacrifice. But you can change from a victim to become a victor. Amen. That's the will of God. You become members of a mighty army. Hallelujah. A draws army that does not retreat or surrender. We fight. We don't no retreat, no surrender. We are kings and priests unto our God that have access to tremendous power. And by that power, we can say no to Satan and yes to God. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 to 21. Very important, you understand. We have power in Christ. That's what Apostle Paul was telling them. It's resurrection power. Christianity is about power. It's not about just going to church. No, it's about tapping into the power and experiencing it on a daily basis. So check your life. The power, you must see signs of the power working there. More light, more love. You're changing. You know, before you make a mistake, you see God pull you back. Hey, and when you make a mistake, something is wrong. You can correct it. It's a relationship. You know, you can check and see where you are. Amen? Not just going on and on and on. So what is he saying? Look at Ephesians 9. Give it to me in the Amplified, please. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:19, Amplified. Thank you. All right, let's go on. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what who believe? The Amplified says it's a bit better. According to the working of his mighty power. Next verse. I think it's frozen. Okay. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. Okay. Thank you. Which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Look, let's give him verse 19 again so we can see that expression in verse 19. So you can know and understand. God wants us to know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. You need to understand, there is power on this side. The power on that side cannot compare to the power on this side. It says unlimited, surpassing. You can surpass anything Satan brings, it can be surpassed. When if he multiplies it, we will just come with a bigger flood and swallow him up. So we are on the winning side. We can already tell. We are champions that rule and reign with him. That's why it says in Psalm 149. Psalm 149 verse 4. Psalm 149. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Psalm 149 verse 4. It says, remember. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. Who are the people of the Lord? The Lord takes pleasure in you. What concerns you is important to God. He is a priority for God to do. Now, we must also make the Lord our pleasure. That's where the thing is. When we make God our pleasure, then we are his pleasure. He is our pleasure. The pleasure meet together. That's the covenant. Amen. Look at, he will beautify the meek. The ones that receive instruction. With what? Salvation. Next verse. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Amen. Because the power is working. Amen. And we see ourselves having victory. Next verse. Verse 6. You need to be quicker. Let the high praises of God be where? In their mouth. And a two-edged sword where? In their hand. Next verse. I should get my own Bible. Okay. All right. So, yes, ma'am. I'm going to. To execute vengeance upon who? The heathen. And punishment upon the people. Next verse. To bind their kings with what? Chains. Kings. And their nobles, what? Fetters of iron. Next verse. To execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have some of the saints. Only the mature of the saints. Have who? All the saints. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying. We are, this is our lot. a victorious, triumphing portion. We are over and above with open hearts. That's what God is saying. All right? So this is the reality. This must be our reality in Jesus' name. Amen? And we will grow into it. But this must be our goal. Amen? All right? So in verse 6, let's continue. Let's begin to round up. In verse 6, it says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Next verse. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And you take anything out of the gospel, you take out the conditions and you leave the blessing, it is another gospel because you have perverted it. There are some leaders in the body of Christ, God is taking them out, that are perverting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They water it down. They tell the people of God lies. They handle the word of God deceitfully. And so, in so doing, they rob the people of the power that God wants to give them. Because that word is a word of power, is a word of grace. But when you remove up from it, the grace of God will not back it anymore. Because it's not the truth. God only backs truth. Next verse, verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. What is he saying? There is a curse on such people. It's the scripture. Nobody's cursing anybody. Once you have removed from the truth, you have set yourself up, for a curse. So that's God is saying, if you have been doing that, it's time to repent. Leaders in the body of Christ that have been doing that, God is saying it is time to repent. They are troubling the body. They are inside the body and they are troubling the body with false, covetous teaching that is meant to disqualify the children of God from the glory that God came to pay to give them. Can you imagine? That's why they are strange children. They are on our side, but they are against us. So God is saying that, Apostle was saying them that all these things they are telling you, it looks easier to do. It looks as if there's not much stress, but it is false because it's not scripture. And it is going to rob you of the destiny which you cannot see yet. But I'm telling you ahead of time, it's going to rob you of the glory unto which the Bible says we were ordained unto the inheriting of the glory. The minute you got born again, the end of your lot and my lot was what? Glory. This teaching takes you off track. It takes you off the highway of holiness. And they are troubling us, but God is going to trouble them. And it's also important that we ourselves don't trouble ourselves. Achan troubled Israel. May we not be Achan. He troubled Israel, and he troubled his family. Look at Joshua chapter 7. This covetousness. Pastor preached wonderfully on it last week, talking about Balaam and Moses, But Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Joshua chapter 7, verse 13. Just look at it very quickly. So Achan, use the word, them that trouble you. They trouble you, but you must resist them. Amen. And don't receive it. Because if you receive what they are teaching, then you yourself begin to trouble your own family. You trouble all the people around you. Because you become a loophole that the devil can use against everybody else. Look at Achan. Achan, they said, no, they told everybody, we're going to Ai. No, don't take anything of the Babylonians. Just leave it there. Achan thought that he could hide. So he took the Babylonian garment, some gold, and hid it in the earth. And so then they went to Ai, 3,000, because it was a very small place. And 36 of them, they beat them, and 36 of people were killed. And Joshua was like, God said, up, sanctify the people. Say, sanctify yourselves again tomorrow. For thus said Lord God of Israel, there's an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou cannot stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Brethren, we need to take away the accursed thing. It's in our heart. Covetousness is an accursed thing. Take it away. Greed. look, longing for things that God has not given you yet. Trust God, like we said in fellowship yesterday. Trust and obey, and God will bring it in due time. Well, just jump to verse 19 and to 21 quickly as we round up. And Joshua said unto Achan, after they cast lots, he thought he was hidden, but his sin found him out. Because they cast lots, and they found his the larger family, the tribe, they found his family, and then they found him in the family. Joshua said to Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. What should have confessed before? They are now confessing after. Wrong time. You should have confessed. Now is the time to confess, when nobody knows. Because then there's mercy. And tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Next verse, quickly. And Achan said unto Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done. Next verse, mercy. And when I saw the spoils of a goodly Babylonish garment, Levi, Nike, M&M, you want to wear designer? No, and 200 shekels of silver, Bitcoin. And a wedge of gold of 50 weight of 50 shekels weight. Want to buy gold. Then I coveted them, and I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Let's jump to the end. Jump to verse 24. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his innocent sons, his beautiful daughters, and his oxen that didn't know what was happening, and his asses. May God have mercy on us. This thing has implications. It's not just you alone. It's everybody that's around you. That's why it says trouble. Trouble. Don't be a troubler of your own people. And his sheep and his tents and all he had. And they brought them to the valley of Achor and stoned them. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But what we are saying is that this thing is a big lesson to us. We must renounce covetousness. Our leaders in Nigeria need to renounce covetousness and greed and avarice. If you don't, God will find you out. What you did in the secret, it will come out into the open. Why? Because there's an army on the ground. His arm is right now working. Amen? And God will deliver us in Jesus' name from coming. So, you remember that Jesus also warned Judas Iscariot and told him to renounce, told him to stop doing it. You know, when he saw the woman with the alabaster box, he had quickly calculated. Hey, 300 pence. Why is she wasting it? Never understand it. Everything is money, money, money. No. It's not about money. It's about lives and fulfilling destiny, honoring the Lord, building up his people. That's what it's all about. You know, and that thing is clouds our vision. In the end, Judas was disciple, raised, he healed the sick. You know, he cast out devils, but he wound up in hell. And Zacchaeus, who was covetous, when he heard that Jesus was coming, he prepared him room. I said, because this thing had affected Zacchaeus. He was small in stature. It affected his spiritual growth. That thing affects. You can't run away from it. One way or another, it affects you. You're not where you're supposed to be. So Zacchaeus, so you know what Zacchaeus did? He silently in his heart made up his mind, I will seek him more. So he climbed a sycamore tree and was seeking God more. To the point where God caught his attention. And God said, you know what? I have found room in your heart because you have chosen to repent and renounce. And said, Zacchaeus, come down. Today I must be in your house. And Zacchaeus said, me in my house? Before you come to my house, let me confess all the remaining things. He said, the people that I have duped in my tax collecting business, I will give back to every single one fourfold. What are you doing? And tax collector, the Bible says, this day, salvation is come to the house of Israel. Brethren, God is coming. And if we remove and renounce and seek the Lord more, he will find space in our hearts and lives. Let us pray. Let us talk to God. Let us talk to God. It's the Lord and his mercy under covering. Let's talk to God. open your bowel to authority. Renounce those hidden things: dishonesty, covetousness, fornication, sexual impurity. Renounce it. Keep working on it. God will help us. And when He comes, there will be room for the glory in our hearts, in our soul, in our flesh, because we have renounced. Down at your feet, oh Lord, is the most high place. In your presence, Lord, we seek your face. We seek your face. And there is no higher goal. Oh, there is no greater honor than to bow and kneel before your throne. And I'm amazed at your glory, embraced by your mercies, oh Lord. I live to worship you. There is nothing that can compare to His person. Amazed at your glory, embraced by your mercy. Let's raise up our right hand, put our left hand upon our hearts, and let's pray together. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and you sent to me this morning understanding and recognizing the position of the spiritual fathers you have set in authority over me. Father, I recognize and esteem very highly my spiritual fathers, through whom I am being kept by the power of God unto the salvation ready to be revealed in this last time. So I love them. I honor them for who they are. And I hold fast to their instruction in this hour. I will not allow any man to rob me of the crown that you have prepared for me, even that crown of glory, through false teaching, in Jesus' name. And so, Father, I renounce hidden things of dishonesty, hidden things of covetousness, of dishonor, of fornication and adultery. And I receive mercy, like Zacchaeus, to seek you more diligently. So I will take and fulfill the high calling that I've been called unto, to be a partaker of your glory, in Jesus' name. Let us pray in the spirit. Poro salam rebab belata rebo baba begala rebo baba bonebete te to binanai rebo bobukusa roseka benga de beberiana. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you're sick in your body, or you have something in your mind that's worrying you, that's a burden you're carrying, let's pray. The anointing is in the air, under the covering of our spiritual fathers. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that has gone forth. And Lord, the Bible says you confirm your word with signs and wonders following. And so, Father, I come to pray for everyone under the sound of my voice that has a burden. Lord, mental, emotional, Lord, physical, financial, Lord, in their body. Lord, that is taking them and distracting their vision, Lord, from seeing you where you are, Lord, from coming down at your feet to worship you. Every such yoke that is oppressing and hindering the people of God under covering of my spiritual fathers, in full agreement with my brethren, I break your yoke over their lives and their hearts in the name of Jesus. And we set the captives free, not for price, not for reward, in the name of Jesus. We declare peace in your mind. We declare joy in your heart. We declare healing virtue in your mortal flesh, in the name of Jesus. We reverse the odds, both microscopic and macroscopic, in the name of Jesus. And we say, be thou made whole, in Jesus' name, amen.